morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 27th. Holy Toledo. February's almost gone already.
Oh, a couple of days to March.
Yeah. Joining us this morning, the lady with the obvious insights. Stella Fennell, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you this beautiful day?
Good. Trying to dry out. How's that?
Okay.
How's that for another obvious one?
Whoa.
That work? Yeah, all right. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a lot of water, I got to say.
Yeah, all over the place, which would make sense. All right. Let's see if we've got... Oh, here we go. D-Day. What's the origin of the term D-Day?
Oh, my God. I should know that one. Oh,
I know. That's...
God. Okay. So, Dunkirk. Oh, my God. I should know that. I just read about it, like, about 2 months ago or something. Okay. I'm stumped.
All right. The D in D-Day just stands for day, any given day. Although it now is generally referred to as the day the Allied troops invaded France in World War II, June 6, 1944. Yeah. In order not to divulge the designated day of a military operation, it was never written as a definite date, but only as a D.
Oh.
The hour was designated as H. Other related days and hours were designated as D plus H or D minus H.
Wow. I like that.
So the fact that you didn't know it probably is pretty safe.
Oh, yeah, well, they had a, what was it, something anniversary of the first cyber outfit in London not that long ago. And it was pretty amazing, actually. You know?
Yeah, some of the code-breaking things I find fascinating. There was a book, it was coming off Jim Bohannon, had the author on. It was about George Washington and the first Secret Service. And he had five. Two of them were British loyalists, and they were both hung on a Thursday, and they were talking about how that used to be part of the social activity calendar. Mm-hmm. And there were like 10, 15,000 people who showed up for it. And you never hear about it in the history books, right?
Yeah.
Because 2 days later, they signed the Declaration of Independence. And it just kind of went off the newspapers. And some of those other types of things that are out there that... I mean, you know, being a history geek, I'm starting to get back and engaged with some stuff. It's kind of fun. So,
no, it is. And I mean, and I don't know why it is, because I wasn't hugely a history buff up until about maybe 20 years ago or so, maybe.
So you're saying this is an age-related thing?
I think it might be, because you just suddenly realize, now it's different. My sister, she was a history buff from when she was 5 years old. I don't know why it was her thing. But it wasn't mine until I started realizing the importance of understanding why things are the way they are now.
Well, particularly with some of the lack of knowledge that so many in our region have about why things are where they are, how they are, et cetera, et cetera. And just, I think there's a temptation to define things in today's perspective. And we see that with a lot of the revisionism around the Civil War.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, well, that isn't really necessarily the case, but it feels good today. Well, what about in 10 years?
Yeah.
Now we're going to go back through and do it all over again, or are we going to just stick to the facts and not worry? Anyway.
Yeah.
Weather.
Weather, it's on everybody's mind.
We are now back up over 100%.
Wow, that's
so
great.
We picked up an awful lot in the last little bit.
Yeah.
Not that we were that concerned with the water levels. And it's really cool, I suppose, for those of us here, and we go back historically, knowing how much water and rainfall we have been able to take, and the systems work.
Yeah.
It works. You know, we may argue about Salt River not being cleared out or being able to process through, or Sproul Creek, or, you know, those types of things. But overall, we were able to handle a lot of that kind of stuff, which I think is... It's kind of cool for us. You know, the guys up north, they got pummeled with a lot of rain, and they're having some issues. Hookton Road has issues, the slides and the cuts and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's all normal stuff, but we're kind of able to process through a lot of that kind of thing. And I suppose, for me at least, it's, this is what we do here.
Yeah, I mean, it's rural, and people actually who came before us had to figure those things out, and I think they did a pretty good job. I think there was maybe a little bit messing around in between, and we do have some issues, but the bottom line is this is a very rainy county, and I remember years ago, this was what you could expect every winter.
Yeah, this is what winter is.
Cycles, yeah. Yeah. It feels great, actually.
Maybe we need a little bit more snowpack.
Yeah.
Well, okay, fine, but plunk along.
But I keep looking. I mean, it seems like the snowpack really is good this year, I hope.
Well,
except with this rain, then I kind of...
In the Sierras, it is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more of the Marbles and South. Mm-hmm. Did you know, by the way, that South Fork Mountain has got the longest ridge in North America?
I did not know. I like knowing that.
Yeah. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. And that's why they were looking at the choo-choo train running up on top of that mm-hmm. at one point yeah. rather than down through the canyon.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, which makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It might have been a lot easier if
different
it didn't
topic
go
for
that.
A different time.
Yeah,
though.
Different topic. Yeah, for sure.
How do you know that the county is ready for the winter? I know Tom Madsen and his crew mm-hmm. are a big source, but I mean, there are other things, you know, building maintenance. Okay. Yeah. Some of the new projects. Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you know that as you're coming into a season that you're there, you're ready?
Well, to be honest, I don't know that we ever are ready for a really big event. But generally speaking, yeah, I mean, they go out and they do all the ditching and all of that. But I know I've talked to people out in the further out in the hinterlands, and they're concerned about how little ditching has happened in some of their areas, because that is part of getting it ready. And in the quote-unquote old days, that's what the locals did. But there's...
The locals did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'd have them out in that area. Yeah. And you would... and sometimes the road crew would live in the area that they treated, you know, that kind of thing. So that was good, too.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
You love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. People taking care of their own area. Now, I live in the metropolitan area of Eureka. Okay, mm-hmm. fine.
And I know that you're not expected to take yeah. care of Eureka.
But why not?
Well.
Yeah, okay. If there are weeds growing in the sidewalk, mm-hmm. I'm going to wait for a city employee to come by. If there's something in the gutter, I'm going to wait for the city to come by. I mean, that's kind of goofy.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we may be paying a heightened fee
yeah.
for that service.
Yeah.
Okay. So why would I think that should occur? Why would somebody out in the undeveloped areas go, you know, I got a gutter in front of the house. If I don't take care of it, it could come mm-hmm. across the road and
yep.
flood the front yard. I don't want that to happen. So I'll go out there with a hoe or a rake or a shovel or whatever and, you know, dig for an afternoon. Where did that get lost?
I'm not sure. And it's not that long ago that people weren't doing that, you know. I do think that we need to look at it a little bit more in terms of managing maintenance, generally speaking, because we actually have fewer employees in the Public Works Roads Department than we have allocated. It's difficult to get people for that job. Now, hopefully, we will have good people.
Because they have to work and they get calluses?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't give those
cheap
guys
shot,
a hard
cheap
time.
Shot.
Hey, no, yeah, especially in winter. You better be really nice to those guys or your road will stay blocked.
Love them all, man. Love them all.
No, those are good. They really do put in long, hard days. But to that point, let's say they're centrally located in one of our centrally located yards, and then they've got to go out an hour and a half, 2 hours just to get to where they have to work. That's, you know, that is problematic. It would be nice to have some kind of satellite approach or have more local maintenance, and it's something I'd like to look more at.
Kind of like a resident deputy?
Yeah,
conceptually?
Or even maybe a contractor who would do that kind of work.
Okay.
Although that you've got to work through.
Because you're probably not going to have a backhoe out there just sitting around waiting.
Yeah, I mean, I did talk, we did some of that work up near Bell Springs, Island Mountain area. There's a local who used to work with Caltrans, and he's done some work there. And I don't see why that wouldn't happen. I mean, in fact, a lot of the jobs that get done out in the local areas are done by contract workers. But just general maintenance alone would make things much better, because just clearing those ditches, filling those potholes would take care of a lot.
I mean, the pothole factors.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, and some people don't because they haven't lived here long enough. But the fact of the matter is, if you've got a small pothole before a storm, it's going to be a big one by the end of it. That just happens.
I thought you were going to say a small car. It's going to disappear.
Small car, it might be gone by the end of it. But it's really true. I mean, it is honest. And I get pictures and people go, this pothole just appeared. Well, actually, there was a small one before, you know. That's where the maintenance comes in. But how do we know we're ready for the winter? We do the very best that we can. The county does.
Or ready for summer. Pick another season. I mean, just
ready for summer.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's, I like that.
Spot
comment.
Check, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Do, or does the board of directors
a lot of that.
Do?
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of make sure that everything is on the straight and narrow.
Well, you know what? I think it's interesting now that I think about it. I see a lot more preparation for fire these days. Making sure that the roads are all mowed, the edges, and that we'll only see more of that as time goes on. So that is, in fact, you know, geared towards the fire season. So I'm not 100% on how they run their system in the local shops for public works, but I'm sure that's kind of what
well,
you're up
to. We can even pull out of that, pick another department, doesn't mm-hmm. matter, one of the appointed ones.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that everything is there? Will you pop in?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Estelle.
Oh, yeah.
Estelle is the title. Pop into Bob's department, whatever department that might mm-hmm. happen to be. Mm-hmm. How's it going, guys?
Yeah.
What's up? What's the challenge? Here's what I'm hearing on the street about Bob's department.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys... Can you do that within the parameters of what the job is?
Great.
And can you do it just as, hey, I just want to make sure everything's going okay?
Yeah, okay. So I think part of that, there's a yes and a no in there. We actually talked about that at our strategic workshop. You don't really want to micromanage, okay? And so whether you like it or not, employees, when they see a supervisor, but their department head is really their supervisor, right? So
right, when the title walks through the door, it changes.
So you don't want to abuse that if the system is in place. So what I like to do is actually have regular meetings with the department heads. Of course, be friendly, et cetera, with all the workers that I kind of tend to come across. But I don't want to step over or on the feet of department heads. Now, we do have regular meetings, and I think that's very, very important. And I will say that most of the department heads I work closely with are very, very responsive. I mean, it's really good. So, yeah, I can... What we're doing a lot in my position is troubleshooting, you know, trying to get things moving through the system, trying to let the department heads know how things are going or not, trying to make those connections between local groups and the county.
So more of a conduit.
Yeah, yeah. That is definitely how I see it, definitely. And, I mean, when I talk with the department head, I am going to be letting them know what my opinion is in terms
and buzz on the street,
so to speak.
Exactly. Also. Yeah.
And you know, we do have a regular. We've changed from employee evaluation, department head evaluation, which used to be once a year, that kind of thing. We've changed it to a quarterly, and it's more like keep us updated on what's going on. Tell us what you've accomplished, what's on the books, what you need to take care of, what should we be looking out for in terms of what's coming down the pike at us, etc.
But so, not the Dog and Pony Show.
Yeah,
once
exactly.
A year kind of
exactly.
Thing. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeadifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and Murphy's Markets. Considering some of the different challenges that are out there, Estelle, when you get things that come across the desk that are positive movers, do you take the time, does the county take the time to celebrate those victories?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think we should probably maybe even a little bit more, but we definitely like to get the word out on what people have accomplished and what is moving well. It's kind of interesting, though, even getting that word out, somehow or other, it's just not as attractive to most readers as the negative stuff. Well, what can you do? But we do, yeah. What's more important is that we, within the county itself, we're really... pay attention to what's working well.
So in the internal
customer. I got to tell you, I don't know, I think I may have told you this before, but I remember years and years ago, I mean, I'm talking maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago, some of that, I won't put a number because then we'll remember who was the supervisor at the time, and I don't want to do that. I don't even know who was, but I remember going into the county, and it wasn't a supervisor thing, it was just a general structure. And I remember thinking, oh, all these people kind of walking around, looking fairly glum, looking at pieces of paper, that kind of thing. If you go into the county today, everybody's like, they're moving quickly from one place to another. They've got a job, they're going here, they're going there. It just seems quite dynamic. And it's
more
good.
Business-like?
Yeah, very much so. And
staff reduction probably had a little something to do with that, just because there was not so much time to linger a little bit. You know,
I think our CIO's work with all the department heads is really good. You know, and how we've restructured some of the departments from one area to another has helped. But generally speaking, everybody's got a lot of work to do, and they're doing it. And it's not so much that you want people to just be killing themselves, but I think that people who are busy accomplish more in a way because they
have
less
time to do it. Well, that's the old axiom, right?
Yeah.
If you want something done, give it to somebody who's busy.
Yeah. And so I see that. I see the county buzzing along quite well. Now with our 7-year financial forecast, we need to really buckle down and make sure that everything we're working on is successful because, as we learned on Tuesday, we could be looking at a bit of a drop-off. We already have seen a drop-off in sales tax, but at the same time, we're building up economic development, and there are a lot of exciting projects in the works. So what the CIO was doing by giving us a 7-year instead of a 5-year forecast is, look, this is how it could be. Let's make sure that the decisions we make today won't hamstring us down the road in case we have to cut back a little. And so, you know, no matter what, we can say we've done well and we've accomplished a lot, but we can't rest on our laurels, that's for sure.
Now, you had, or bay trees, depending on which one you like.
Yeah.
Or pepperwoods.
Don't talk
right?
about those bay okay. trees. Oh, my God.
So,
actually, eucalyptus, that's a big one.
I wasn't going to say eucalyptus trees.
Yeah, no, I won't say a word.
As I just like to see them all gone.
Well, there are several trains of thought on that.
Yes, yeah. Apparently there is, and you don't want to jump on any of those trains, huh?
Well,
that was okay.
No.
The concept I was curious about is 2 years ago, there was a lot of heightened anticipation about legalization.
Yes.
This is going to mean all kinds of great, wonderful, la, la, la. And there were some of us, and I don't know if we were in the camp of the emperor's new clothes or not, saying, wait a minute, why does somebody want to have the increased costs, or the, not increased, the premium costs associated with growing out in the middle of nowhere versus having a nice little plantation up on tables, and you just kind of work your way through it, and it's hydroponic, and it's a lot less costly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, no, the Humboldt County mystique is going, okay, so now here we are a year and a half into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like some of us, our perspective might have been a little bit closer to the mark than what some of these folks who thought it was going to be this huge landslide of money coming through into the county. Are there indications close to the reality of what the numbers are and what the impact has been and these changes that are going on right now?
Well, I think we'll see more as we tease out the budget, but there's definitely been a drop, but it may just be a temporary drop. And the reason I say that is that for people who came into the legal market, they spent a lot of money to do that. And their situation now is that they're at the beginning stages of what is a promising industry. It's not what people made it out to be when they came up in front of the Board of Supervisors and were telling us it was going to be millions upon millions. But it is millions. There's no doubt about that. And so what's important, I think, for Humboldt County is to retain as much of its uniqueness as possible, because that's all we have going for us. If you look down in the valley or other places where you can grow large plantations, we can't go up against that. But what we can do is what has been discussed over and over again, which is the Humboldt brand. And there are people who are very good at what they do. They know a lot about the product. I went to a thing called Seed to Sale at the River Lodge this weekend just to check out what was going on there. And it's real interesting to see the level of professional conduct that was there. It's like people who were distributors, people who were testers, all of that, you know. So you're seeing this unregulated market now become highly regulated, and you see people who are entrepreneurs taking that to the next level. So it's not just the plants, it's all of the services that go with them, it's the businesses that grow up to sell the products, etc. So
I flash back, there's an article that was shared with me about Blue Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much what the basic concept, and this is out of Harvard Business School, is non-replicatable.
Mm-hmm.
Pot can be grown anywhere.
Yep.
Period, end of story. If it's number of hours, throw it out in the desert. Okay, it can be grown anywhere. Fish can't. I'm more excited about the stuff that we're hearing about out on the North Spit than
Nordic.
I am anything associated with legalization mm-hmm. of pot in our area as far as a long-term significant bedrock, kind of everything new is old again, or everything old is new again.
Mm-hmm.
That thing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We're getting back to what we are, and I think Redwood is that way too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because I think that the bottom line is what I've talked about all along is a diversified economy. The one reason I want to make sure that the cannabis part of it is successful is that I think it's a way to address even more than the economy, it's the culture and everything else. We need to get rid of all the negatives there. But I think, bottom line, the wind power is huge. I think the the fishing thing, Nordic, is huge. And it's interesting there, because I think the most opposition we're going to see is from fisher folk themselves. But I think over the long term, that may be ironed out, because there is
getting comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's only so many, you know, fishermen that the wild fisheries can support anyway. But
with the regulatory and climate that there is, that's been imposed on them.
Yeah. And I was talking to a local fisherman the other day, and I noticed that when I was down at Shelter Cove, there's an awful lot of markers out there. There are a lot of people crabbing out there. And that's...
That's not a bad thing.
No.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to talk shop this morning with Estelle. So you got a little bit of update on some of the rodeo activity.
Oh,
I know
yeah,
you wanted to mention a couple of that instead of talk about budget. So
yeah, thank you very much. So at the annual chamber dinner in Fortuna last Friday, it was announced that the beloved Don Brown will be kind of the patron, if you will, of the rodeo this year. It will be done in his memory. And then the Grand Marshal will be Walt Giacomini. So that should be a lot of fun. I think the theme is 98 years of neighborhood or something like that, as neighbors. So it's the 98th year, obviously. So it's going to be a good one. And also, just to mention, there are some really great recipients. Citizen of the Year was Lisa Hummel, who completely 100% deserved it, you know. And I think everybody, all of the
I'm
awardees.
Sure Wendy's giving her a hard time.
Oh, well, yeah. I heard that she didn't know. I have a hard time believing it, but I don't know.
Oh, very cool.
They were sitting there at the table, and Wendy was just grinning away. I don't know if she knew or not, but everybody thought she didn't. But she handled it very well.
Yeah.
She was very moved, and rightfully so, because it is a great honor.
Cool.
And it was, you know, it was really nice too to hear from Don's son. So he was, I forget now what he got. A lifetime of achievement, posthumous lifetime of achievement, and that was really beautiful.
Yeah, sometimes that would stop and celebrate. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
Stop and celebrate.
Stop and celebrate.
All right. Exactly. And stay dry.
And stay
That's
dry.
The other element here. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
See everybody tomorrow.